If you're a fan of hot jazz, the Wharton Center is bringing a trumpeter and vocalist to town with some chops. Current State's Jamie Paisley spoke with the up-and-coming Bria Skonberg about her performance scheduled for Wednesday night. First, he got an update about Bria Skonberg's album being released later this summer.
My name is Bria Skonberg. I'm a trumpet player, and I live in New York City.
Well, trumpet player and vocalist as well, I understand.
Yes.
And in hearing you perform, there is a strange kind of mix of the voice that you are performing with. It's kind of that a breathy, fairly, I hate to use the word, but sultry. and then your trumpet playing is very florid, very, very agile. Is that kind of interesting to have those two different, very distinct personalities to your main instruments?
Yeah, it's been one of the kind of challenges and also part of the fun of the journey for the years that I've been playing and singing is just finding places where those two voices kind of interact and sound best together, and also picking a repertoire that suits it or writing songs that kind of show each of those in their best light. And it's been a process, but it's been, I've learned a lot about both music and myself.
And although those are the two main instruments that you're using, you have far more than just those two in your repertoire, right?
Well, those are the ones that I play professionally on. I mean, I play a little bit of ukulele for campfire type stuff, and then I play piano. I took piano lessons before I took trumpet lessons, and did that in college too. So that's what I mainly use for writing music is the piano, because all the harmonies laid out.
Yeah. As you talked about the repertoire that you have performing, the pieces, what you're coming to the Wharton Center in East Lansing with, I believe, if I'm understanding the timeline correctly, this might be a bit of kind of proof of concept repertoire that you're bringing for a recording project you're doing later on in the summer.
Yeah, well, actually, what you will hear, the recording you're talking about, it is recorded, but what you will hear is kind of a mix from my last two albums, some things that excite me now. Of course, we always do a little bit of real vintage jazz throwback, and you'll hear some stuff that will be released. Actually, that new album's coming out in September. The band that I'm bringing, City Band, is one that I tour with and play with regularly. They're great guys. They have a wonderful energy. For the recording, this next one, I kind of made a bit of a move and hired some extremely wonderful players that also I wouldn't be able to get for travelings. For example, like Allie Jackson is the drummer of the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra. Mm. And, Stefan Harris is a huge jazz star, and Aaron Deal plays a lot with Cecile. He's always touring. So I actually pulled together a combination of people that I knew would sound wonderful and kind of serve the music I was going towards, but lend themselves more to that recording situation.
So the album coming out in September is your fourth, and I know that you crowdfunded this one, but was this your first venture into crowdfunding an album?
Yeah, this is the first one, and it was successfully funded, and I'm just on the brink right now of being able to kind of announce it. Hopefully when I come to the gig, I'll just say that it's been picked up by a major label, which is very exciting. I'm starting a new phase in my my career in a relationship that's pretty thrilling. I just don't know if I'm at liberty to say it yet.
We're speaking with Bria Skonberg, jazz trumpeter and vocalist, who'll be performing at the Wharton Center's Paysant Theater Wednesday, April 27th at 7:30 p.m., and performing an evening of hot jazz hits. And Bria, in terms of concert programming, it's very important to have a very concrete opening piece. How do you choose that opening, and more importantly, then what is that next piece? How do you read the audience and choose your set list that way?
I like to start off sets with a pretty fiery opening number. I think kind of just to jump right in. I'm kind of a jump right in person, I guess, and get everybody moving. There's an element of excitement and surprise that can kind of come with that. And then right away, the second number will be a little bit more moody. That'll be a little bit more like, okay, let's bring them in now. Let's prepare people for the what's about to come. I've been enjoying understanding and using kind of drama a little bit with those, and finding pieces that, that bring that together. I don't know if I want to give away my secrets of what we're going to play there, but that's what I say. I usually start high energy, and then we relax into the set.
Tell me also about the Mighty Aphrodite Jazz Band, which is that defunct at this point?
Yes. Okay. That's the short answer.
Gotcha.
Mighty Aphrodite was a band I started in, 2004 was our first time with my friend Claire, and we had a lot. Claire was somebody I met who just right away we kind of realized we were soul sisters. We both loved the same kind of music, and we were the same age and everything. And so we started a group, and that being all female, it's funny to think about it this time. I think it was just because we thought it'd be fun or funny. but it took us a while to find all the pieces. And so Mighty Aphrodite was comprised of people from British Columbia, Washington State, and California.
Yeah.
And, for 6 years, we did a lot of traveling and did a lot of hustling to get that band some great gigs. And it was a really wonderful experience. And then eventually I moved to New York, and kind of the nucleus of the band had less, but I'm still good friends with everybody. I mean, the trombonist Emily lives here in New York, and Beth, the drummer, is in LA now. And whenever I go west, I'll ask her to play drums with my groups and stuff. So, yeah, we're also good friends. Just got pulled in different directions.
Right. Well, from having an all female jazz band to performing solo, have you noticed a bit of a gender bias from performing?
I certainly don't dwell on it at this point, and if there was times when I would consider that, it was just motivation to work harder. I think, generally as far as being a female, if that's what gets somebody's attention, that's fine. But ultimately, keeping attention comes down to the quality of your work.
Picture me and partner me, T for two and two for T-O.
When it comes to a lot of jazz artists, a lot of people are defined by how many times they've appeared at different festivals. So then I have to ask, how many times have you been to Newport?
I've been there twice. Well, once with the Nighthawks, once with my own band, and then I did a follow-up event. I played George Ween's 90th birthday, kind of more of a private thing. I mean, that relationship has been there for a few years. I met George Ween at a function that was put on by the Louis Armstrong House in Queens, kind of a gala event, and we've, I'd almost go to say that we're friends. So, there's like a really good relationship there. But I've just played the festival twice. It was wonderful.
You're originally from Vancouver, Ben. You hail, more to the east of Vancouver, in Chilliwack, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I understand that there's a big kind of jazz community there with the Dixieland Jazz Festival. Are you kind of perpetually invited back to that now?
Yes.
As a hometown girl.
Sure. Actually, just this past weekend, I went back to Chilliwack. I did a concert with a friend, and then I made a point to go to the high school. We kind of did a day of workshops with any of the students in the community that wanted to come and talk about things. So I've always been interested in keeping tabs and giving back to that when possible. There was a good spirit in Chilliwack for specifically traditional jazz. I feel like that kind of, I understand now that came out of a revival along the West Coast, 50, 60 years ago, and a lot of these festivals kind of popped up along the way. So I am a product of that, and yes, I definitely make an effort to go back and share the experiences I've had to date.
Is that where a lot of the backbone of your jazz identity comes from?
Yeah, most definitely. I had awesome teachers that would give me the music of, transcriptions of Louis Armstrong solos. When I was 15, and I would try to play them. I guess when you're a kid, you give what's given to you. So I didn't realize how difficult they were at the time, and now I'm still trying to play them.
We've been speaking with jazz trumpeter and vocalist Bria Skonberg. She'll be performing Wednesday night at 7:30 at the Paysant Theater of the Wharton Center for this evening of Hot Jazz Pieces. Tickets and more information is available online at whartoncenter.com. Bria Skonberg, thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure, yeah.
For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.